You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. My name is Drew. Joining me as always is the stilt walker to my juggler, my dear friend Andy.
Hey, what's up, man?
Andy, looking good in your house slippers.
Oh yeah, I've fully embraced slippers.
We're deep into slipper season.
We really need to all have our own set of slippers we can put on, like Mr. Rogers style, before we do a show.
Oh yeah, I would love to have guest slippers for our guest recliner. It would be a real cozy atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And you've added to the coziness because you had a very productive trip to the dollar store.
I did.
Today. You came back with some scented candles.
Yeah, they have the full Krispy Kreme line. You can get scented candles that smell like donuts.
Your favorite donut?
Yeah. I went with the glazed.
Glazed seemed like a pretty classic one. Yeah, I think that's the right move.
Mm-hmm.
It smells delicious. You also got Skittles scented
orange Skittles.
Orange Skittles, too. Yeah. You went bottom of the bag.
Yeah.
For your Skittles candle.
I haven't lit either one yet. We'll see. I kind of want to eat them both.
What options were there in Skittles? Was it only orange?
They only had orange.
You couldn't smell the whole rainbow.
It was the only one that didn't do well. I think it made its way down to the Dollar Tree.
The candles sell like the candies eat. You know, you always end up with a lot of oranges and yellows left over.
Mm-hmm.
Those reds, greens, and purples, those go fast.
It's true.
I
also, what else did they have? Man, they had so much weird shit there. The food selection there has gone crazy.
Yeah, they've got a pretty deep freezer section.
They've got these Jamaican meat pockets. They look like a hot pocket, but they're full of like jerk chicken.
That sounds pretty delicious.
Yeah, they're scary that they're a dollar. They also have steaks.
I feel like
honest to God steaks.
The prices of those foods is not any more like it's not any more frightening than it doesn't make the food worse than like a grocery store frozen food. I feel like it's just more realistic about the value.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like, you know, you pay whatever $4 for a Tyson meal and you think you're getting a higher quality microwave meal, but you're just overpaying by $3.
That's what the Dollar Tree is teaching us. I think you're right. Larry the Cable Guy has biscuits and gravy for sale there. They're his own brand.
Yeah, and see, that's the kind of brand bias that the major grocery chains demonstrate on a daily basis. You can't get Larry the Cable Guy frozen food at a Fred Meyer or an Albertsons. You have to go dollar store.
Man, and this is a great precursor to this episode because it was the Taco Bell episode.
Yes,
if we ever
was.
Had a Taco Bell episode, it's this one you're about to hear.
Right, so strap in for that. Our silent partner Nate is with us. He got real hungry during this episode because we talked a shit ton about Taco Bell. And we did so with our guest tonight, Portland comedian Jacob Christopher, who was an amazing guy to have on the show. Jacob hosts a comedy show at Helium Comedy Club here in Portland called The Dirty Dozen, focusing on raunchy, dirty adult comedy. Super funny guy. The next one is happening on February 8th. That's Wednesday, February 8th at Helium Comedy Club. Jacob hosts that night. Also, check out his website. Check out jacobchristopher.com. He's got a full calendar. He's super busy. He's doing a benefit show for Planned Parenthood on February 7th, so go out and support him there. Dirty Dozen on February 8th. A lot of shows in the can for Jacob. You can also follow him on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, etc. to find out what he's up to. He was a great guy to have on the show. Talked about his favorite music, talked about his background coming from Virginia, moving out here to Portland, and had an all-around great time.
A lot of puss talk.
A lot of puss talk. It gets a little bit... I almost threw up. Literally, not joking, almost threw up on the episode. So.
As much as this is a Taco Bell episode, it's also a puss-squeezing episode. So if you're into that, strap one on.
Yeah, it's a lot of things to turn your stomach this week with our new friend, Jacob Christopher. We hope you enjoy this episode of Hot Garbage.
The wonder of mediocre chili. Modern chili. We're back.
See you at the show.
What was it that brought you out here?
Nothing. Just curiosity.
Just a shot, yeah. That was the same for me. I just kind of picked a spot. I picked Seattle first, but I just went from Indiana to there without any job or anything like that.
Yeah, same here. I just drove, had my clothes in my car, and I didn't have a job or a place to stay or any friends, nothing. I was just like, fuck it. See what happens.
No friends, so you didn't know anybody.
No, I didn't know anybody.
What was it like? What was the transition like? What time of year did you move?
Damn, I don't remember. It must not have been the winter, though, shit, because, I mean, I slept in my car for, like, 2 weeks, and it wasn't, like, I mean, it was terrible because it was a Mustang, but it wasn't, like, weather-wise. So it must have been, you know, it wasn't in the winter. I think it was, I want to say, like, September.
That's nice.
I don't remember the actual, I don't remember the actual date.
Yeah, you get a nice little taste of summer. You get some real fun.
But, yeah, it was after the summer. I do remember because I'd saved up all my summer money from my shitty landscaping job. And then I moved. Okay, so yeah, I guess it was September, October, kind of fall. But yeah, it wasn't bad. It was a nice trip. I got to see a lot of shit that I would never see another one at the Grand Canyon.
Well, that's crazy. So you took the long route. You really...
Yeah, I went like, I made a smiley face, kind of. Yeah. Yeah, I saw the Grand Canyon. I saw, I mean, you know, Las Vegas sucked. Slept in my car in the parking lot of the Wynn Casino. They have the elevators, or not... The escalators, excuse me, from Rain Man. And the scene when they get the new suits and it just shows them riding down the escalators.
Nice.
Slept in that parking lot.
I slept in that parking lot. It's legend. That's my Rain Man experience.
When did you get started in comedy? How did your stand-up career get started originally?
Man, this was like 5-6 years ago. Just boredom. I wasn't set out to be a comic or anything when I moved here. I just got a job, and I got another job and another. And eventually I found myself at Guitar Center living in Beaverton, which is a cool, you know. It seems cool, like, oh, I'll work at Guitar Center. Every job I've ever applied to, I've gotten. That's what's weird. Like, when I first moved here, I was like, you know, I mean, I didn't have any ambition. I still don't have any ambition, but... It's like, I need a job. I'll go to this car dealership and see if I can wash cars. Never done it before.
Turns out you can.
Yes, got the job. Guy who hired me died like a couple, you know.
Immediately after the interview?
Not immediately.
And then they didn't believe you worked there?
No.
When you showed up?
I worked there for like 3 years. It was a good place.
And everyone was like, who's that guy? I don't know. He washes cars.
Just keep paying him. He's fucking doing a good job. But yeah, then I got a job at Guitar Center. But it's just retail. As soon as you start working there, you're like, oh, it's just Walmart, but it's music.
With guitars, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be the guy. I want them to hire me at Guitar Center to be the guy that walks around and goes, hey, this looks like really nice guitar pedal. Tell me about this. And then we have a conversation, and everyone else in the store gravitates over.
God. Do they have plants there like that? They have secret shoppers that are just marketing
they don't
employees?
Have, they don't. They don't I'd even like have security so. Cameras. They have a bunch of those bubbles that, you know, like the black half domes on the ceiling. You think there's not one camera? There wasn't 5 years ago. They didn't have any security guard. They had nothing. You could, if you stole shit, you could just get it. Like, if you got out of the store, no, there's no way.
Isn't there a guy who sits by the
door? That was me. That was me.
Mr.
Hi,
Loss
welcome
Prevention.
To Guitar Center. Can I check your bag? And I'd keep your bag up front, give you a little number. Oh, I wish I could remember. There was an acronym. GREET. It was like G-A-T-E. It was GREET. Ah, I wish I could remember it, but it was like
associate.
Printed on a guitar pedal, like graphic on a poster.
Let's see if we can think here. So GREET.
Yeah.
It's all the letters. So it's G-R-E-E-T.
No, it was GATE. But like the first thing is GREET.
Oh, okay. You're the human gate. You GREET.
Assess.
Assess.
Yeah.
Threaten.
Threaten. Expel.
Yeah, expel. There we go.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah. That's it. GATE.
Yeah.
GREET assess.
It wasn't a bad job. It wasn't bad. It paid terribly. The cool place, the thing about that particular job. A couple of things. One, the location. It was in Beaverton at this little strip mall. It was in between two furniture stores, and the place is all concrete with no windows. It's like a really desolate-looking place.
It's on that weird, like a weird curve in the road right by the
217. Right, yeah,
exit.
Right off the, like parallel to the
Hard
freeway.
Hard to get into the parking lot. Mm-hmm. You know, you really almost have to make a specific trip to one of
those
three
shops. Yeah, you need to know where you're going.
Or you want to go to that Burger King that's caddy corner.
There's
the
there's a Burger. Is it a Burger King? I guess it is.
It was when
but
I worked
there's
that
like
way.
A sushi place there. For, you know, there's a couple of places farther down. What was I? What was
cool about the location?
There used to be a batting cage They tore it down and put a CarMax there. I didn't realize that until a couple years ago. I drove by there, but it was a batting cage and a go-kart track.
I've seen that CarMax.
All right. Okay. There used to be a batting cage. And I never did the go-kart track because that's just expensive.
Yeah.
But at lunch or after work, you could give them like $3 and hit like 40 balls. Like, that was fun, dude. Yeah. They pitch them at you and shit. I did that a bunch.
Did you guys see, speaking of hitting balls, that new like multi-level driving range?
I have 26? Not. Top Golf.
I've
Top
heard
golf,
about it.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet.
Haven't been there.
I've driven by it a lot, but I haven't gone there yet.
I hear it's crazy expensive, but you'd expect it to be.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've heard that one friend went there, and he said that the service is like, there's like two waiters or waitresses for every table. But he said that it lacked a little bit. It lacks a little heart in the service department. Part of the show is consumer advocacy, and I want to just make sure that though it seemed like it's a good time, maybe the service is a little lacking.
Hmm.
That's all.
Think about that. On
4.5 stars.
Hmm. Yeah.
So they close the batting cages, and that leaves nothing but comedy as an outlet. Is that where we're...
No. Oh, that's what I was getting at. All right. Okay, yeah. So here's when I was working at Guitar Center. I was that guy. Hi, welcome to Guitar Center. And I would stand there literally for like that 8 hours of my shift. That's what I did for 8 fucking hours. Got a 15-minute break, then left a half-hour lunch, then a 15-minute break. God, I hate working retail. But so I would just write in a little composition notebook I just bought, start writing stories. Not even necessarily funny, but just stories to kill time and be creative and do something because there was nothing. You just heard people playing shitty guitar riffs. Terribly over and over, and kids banging on the drums and parents not giving a fuck what they're doing.
It's a certain kind of hell.
It is. It really is a bad place. It's not a good place to like just stand and be immobilized. But yeah, so I just started writing in a composition notebook and filled it up pretty quickly, like within 2 months. It was like 90 pages. I just filled it up, and the stories seemed to be mostly funny. So I just decided I was going to go to open mic because I googled like Portland open mics. And I went to one in Suki's, and I got up and I did like 5 minutes, and it went pretty well. My first one actually went pretty well, and then I bombed like the next 15 afterwards. But like the first mic felt pretty good, and I really liked it, so I just kept going back every week or so, and it was just a way to meet people too.
Yeah,
because I didn't have any friends or anything, still don't. But I mean, at least I had aspirations of making friends back then. Now it's...
Who were some of the comedians you were befriending at this time, six years ago?
Okay, this was like the first people I got, to know was Kyle Harbert. There was a guy named Cody McCullough and Dennis Williams, and they were like a group of those three. And I like their styles of comedy, so I just like kind of like, hey, sat with them, at Suki's, started just like getting to know them. And they were like the first, people that I was like part of their group. And, I mean, Portland, it's clicky. I mean, it doesn't want to be, but it is. Everything is clicky back then, too. But, yeah, so I just started hanging out. I don't really hang out outside of comedy. It was just like I'd see people at comedy, go hang out. And now it's just from the last 6 years, I've just done it enough, rubbed off on each person where I know everybody.
Right.
But, I don't really have any, I don't really, have any sit-down, long-term, one-on-one conversations with, I don't go out and hang out that much.
Do you guys talk shop in these? So you're at a show, so comedy is kind of the reason you're together.
Yes.
Are a lot of your conversations about craft, or is it a lot about comedy? Or
I'd say half comedy. There's always comedy. It's not even working jokes on each other. It's just talking about the show we're at.
Yeah.
Or just, any good shows coming up. What are you working on? For tours or whatever. And then this other half is just... God, a lot of comics have kids now, there's just, how's the family? Just kind of general pleasantries and whatnot that aren't comedy related. I don't know, it's just friendship? Is that what that is? I think it's just friendship.
I think you're describing friendship.
Yeah.
It sounds a lot like friendship.
Yeah, you ask about things that aren't related to comedy necessarily.
I mean, just get to know each other. Talk about video games and talk about just bullshit, sports. Yeah, that's friendship.
Yeah, that is friendship.
You build friendship.
Now...
I'm just having this life realization right now. That's what I've been doing all these years, is making friends.
That's what comedy's really all about.
That's right.
It's about friendship. I'm curious though, if you had eaten shit that first time, would you have enjoyed the experience enough to try it again?
I think so.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, because eating shit's great in its own way. If it's, it might even be better than killing. I mean, it really is, can be phenomenal. But I don't know. After you've done it once, it's just like, I'm not just going to do it once. You know, it's like going, I don't know. It's like skydiving. I've never done that. But if I did it, I would go more than once, I imagine.
Yeah.
No, just the one time for me. Thanks.
You went skydiving?
No, I haven't. But if I do go ever, it's just going to be the one time.
I feel like it would be one of those things. The first time you would be so disoriented and terrified in a, like just a very visceral way that maybe you couldn't fully absorb it.
Plus
so
you're tied in the harness. I don't think you can do it just by yourself.
No, the first time you have somebody on your back.
Yeah, that's the thing. You got to make it to the...
Yeah,
that's a good point because I would like to. I would like to be able to like talk to myself out loud during that trip. Because what is it? It's like you
without being judged by some skydiver.
20 minutes from the time you jump and then float down.
I don't think it. Well, yeah, I guess the floating part. If you just jump and like
a free solid falls, 20 minute fall.
Seconds.
Yeah, you get wet. No, I'm just kidding. I know there's X number of amount of free fall. Then you pull the chute.
Shit, I wonder if you could just pull the chute immediately and just have like a 20 minute glide down. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it would be.
But I would just want to take in the view, and I would want to like in this moment of exhilaration, want to like talk out loud to myself. I'm a big self-talk.
Do that thing where you pull out your dick and talk to your dick.
Sometimes when I'm at home and I
imagine doing that in free fall.
32 feet per second squared. My nuts are just like up in my stomach area. They're just like reverse liquid.
Yeah.
Dumbo's ears.
Speaking of stretchy balls, I had flu recently. The legit flu where I had like 102 degree fever for about 4 days. And it sort of drives you sort of insane after a little while. And so I was kind of in and out of fever dreams, and my nuts became like a melted candle, you know, because they're very temperature sensitive.
In real life.
And they try to run away from the heat of your body to preserve themselves.
Yes.
And these guys were just dripping down the side of my leg. It was so hot. They were my thermometer. It was just the handful of goo that was my nuts during having the flu. That's the kind of thing you don't really talk about too much. It's one of the hidden horrors of having the flu.
And being a man.
Well.
I mean, that's the only bad thing, though, I guess. But
yeah, you're
it's like a separate living organism. Your ball sack is really like a totally separate thing.
It is weird. It's kind of like a weird flesh snail.
I mean, it's just.
Without a shell.
Anything could happen anytime with
the
that.
Soft exactly. Shell flesh snail.
It's dynamic, too. It reacts very suddenly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the most.
Kind of a wonder, really, when you think about it.
Yeah.
On that note, Jacob, we'd love to hear some music. I know you brought some tunes to share.
I brought
tonight.
A few. Yes. Whatever.
Whichever one you would like to kick.
I don't
off
remember.
With.
You'd have to read them off. I forget. I think one. All right. Let's do. I do remember. There's one band I'd like y'all to hear. It's from Richmond, from Virginia.
Oh, great!
And they're
is it
a metal
a veil?
Band. And it's what?
Is it a veil?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's not.
That's another Richmond, Virginia band. That's the only
no,
one I
it's
know.
Not. I've never heard of them.
Anyway,
damn. What kind of music does Avail play?
They're kind of like hardcore punk, like punk rock with like kind of screamy. I'll play some for you later.
Yeah, I'll be into that, definitely. Yeah. No, this is like a goblin metal, like Dungeons & Dragons metal.
Oh, this is
metal.
Even better.
You know, I don't know, like kind of Dragon Force. I love it. I saw them once live, like 15 years ago. I saw this, and they were in a basement of a friend's house. And it was such a good fucking show. I bought their shirt, their patches, their every piece of merch they had I bought. And I've been keeping up. They just released a new album.
Oh, fantastic.
And this is off their new album. But man, like, god damn, they're so phenomenal. I just love them so much.
What's the name of the band?
Battlemaster. I just love like their videos and just the drummer. Like, I just love good drum technique. And I don't know.
Awesome.
And plus, they're from Virginia. I saw them live and they just really spoke to me.
All right, well, here's some Battlemaster from Richmond, Virginia. We'll be right back. That was some Battlemaster from Richmond, Virginia. That was amazing. Awesome.
Thank you. I don't know why I'm taking credit, but you're welcome is what I mean to say. I'm glad to give new bands. I would love to see them come to Portland. I would buy tickets and I would promote the hell myself. I'd put money out of my own pocket to flyer for Battlemaster if they came out to Portland.
I think we could probably start a write-in campaign.
I
want to
open up for Battlemaster or have them open up for me. If I ever make it and get a Comedy Central Presents, they're going to open for me.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, man.
God.
So the other day, Louis C.K. dropped in and did a set at Ground Control. You were at that show,
I was on that show.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's so crazy.
It wasn't just Louis C.K. either.
No, it was Todd Glass and who else?
It was Todd Glass. It was Louis C.K. It was Dan fucking... Soder,
yeah, Dan,
who
Soder.
Is headlining at Helium, who is fucking not only hilarious but just a really, I've opened for him too, super awesome dude, down to earth and legit. And it was also the opener for Louie and Todd. What was it, Joe List?
Oh wow,
who was also very funny.
Did you have any heads up about that, or was it just super?
I knew about 15-20 minutes before it was happening.
Wow,
it was up in the air.
That's pretty amazing.
And Dan Soder dropped by, and he knew the opener. And he started talking to him, hey, y'all should come down here, drop in. And Louis did. And the first thing he said, it was perfect. The first thing he said is, hi, everybody. I'm Louis C.K., and I really don't fucking want to be here. And that's exactly why I'm here.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
Who are some of your big comedy guys? Who are the people that you have sort of been inspired by or look up to?
Yeah, my favorite, Doug Stanhope is just my favorite comic. I just love, I mean, I don't know. I just really enjoy his albums. He's got like 15 albums.
Yeah, he's pretty prolific.
Yeah, he's got a lot of albums. And it's like, I don't know, he's so interesting. That's the thing. I mean, he's funny too. But I mean, you listen to a Doug Stanhope and it'll be like 2 or 3 minutes with no laughs. He's just talking. But it's like you're still paying attention because it's just good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really like just what he does. But, you know, I also really like Louis C.K. I hate to, you know, be the hack. It's like, you know, everybody loves Louis C.K., but...
But he's, you know, he's become
great.
Very mainstream and popular now, but he's been doing this for 30 years.
Yes,
one of the most consistent people in terms of writing and output. So it's not like the world is caught up to you, not you're following the world, put it
that's
that
true.
Way.
Oh, man, have you guys seen the new Neil Campbell special?
No, I have not.
No.
Or is it Neil Brennan? How do I get those guys? It's Neil Brennan.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has a new Netflix special. It's pretty great.
I've actually never seen any of his stand-up.
Oh, man, he's great.
Is he good?
It's really good. Yeah. He did this. The name of the special is Three Mics. I think it's Three Mics. One-liners, jokes, and emotional shit. And every time he switches topics, he goes to a different mic.
Oh, that sounds pretty... Oh, man, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty well done. It's cool.
Yeah, I do want to see that.
Because it's not just jokes. He tells a lot of stories about his life and stuff that are really sad. And his one-liners are fucking great. So,
all right. Neil Brennan, I'm going to check... Remind me.
Yes.
Please. I do want to see that. Bill Burr has a new one coming out today or tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
On Netflix. So
Netflix has been knocking it out of the park for the comedy specials. There's so many now.
Right. And just TV in general. I mean, it's like, why have ABC? Why? What is the point of NBC anymore? Like, people watch that?
To make shows I can watch on Hulu.
Yeah. True that.
To justify my subscription to Hulu. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's the one I don't have. I don't have Hulu.
I have Amazon Prime.
I have that one. That's pretty solid.
There's some stuff going on there. Sneaky Pete is really popular right now.
You and Kim, your wife, were watching that last week.
I kind of fell off on it. It's okay. It's not my favorite.
Oh, this is, I feel like an old man saying this and wasting our time, but I just started watching The Americans from the very beginning. Never seen it. It's now like 6 years old. It's a really good show.
I've never seen it.
I've never given that a chance either.
If you know, if you are catching up on some like catalog prestige TV,
I'm going to guess that it's not
TV
about
show?
American.
Like, if you had to make your favorite most influential TV shows for you personally,
well, either The Simpsons is like the official answer.
Yeah, me too.
It's so formative. Like, I'm 34, so I was becoming aware of like irony and comedy and references as that shit was peaking. So it was like the perfect thing for me. But I also loved The State when I was a kid on MTV. So probably those two things.
What non-comedy related TV show do you think?
When I was a kid, like, so for years I would watch like 10 years of Law and Order, which is on in the summers. I would watch like 50 episodes of Law and Order in a summer. So that's in there. Like, that is just like a part of me at this point. But then the like the fancy show that I chose to watch start to finish as it was happening was Lost. And okay. I still love Lost, and I defend every season.
I never saw it, but I know what it is.
I tried to watch Mad Men, and I couldn't get into it. Mm-hmm. Same with Breaking Bad, couldn't get into it. Same with Sopranos. I've tried to watch the things that people tell me I'm supposed to watch.
The Wire?
Watched the first season of that, which I enjoyed well enough, but it still seemed like enough work that like it was a commitment. I would have to do it for artistic reasons as opposed to
how about Breaking Bad
reasons. Season and a half, and I just
Star Trek
lost. Oh, we talked about this last week.
How many seasons are you in now? Because you only have to watch about seven before you're
I was told that to fully appreciate Star Trek: The Next Generation, I needed to give it at least six seasons, I declined politely.
I would say that was true about Deep Space Nine, not The Next Generation.
That's the one I came up on is Deep Space Nine. Yeah. I spent a couple summers as a teen with nowhere to go watching that late at night.
Man, I watched an episode of that today after work. I'm not even lying.
Out of continuity. You just pluck a season five gem and it still holds up.
I mean, because once the war with the Dominion and the Federation, that starts at like season four. The first three seasons of Deep Space Nine are just character development.
Yeah, there's a lot of time in the bar. Talking about how much gold plus platinum it's going to cost.
Just a bunch of bullshit.
How much Ferengi gold for a beverage, barkeep?
Yeah.
Does any of that character development pay off when
they're... Okay. Oh, yeah, it does. Like, Garak is probably the best character of any Star... Well, besides Data. But
Data's
Garak,
pretty dope.
Yeah, Data's dope. But Garak is a quick, close number two. He's a great character.
I do love Worf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's really good in DS9, too. Next Generation, he wasn't my favorite character at all. I didn't hate him. But in Deep Space Nine, he's like the shit.
Is it a prequel? What's the timeline?
No, it's after.
Everything happens after. It's always about the future of Star Trek.
Yeah, yeah.
They have a new one coming out soon that takes place before The Next Generation.
Oh, okay.
Like a new Star Trek TV show comes out.
It's the middle generation.
Yeah, that bridge between
the original series and Next Gen.
All right. Well, I can't say I'm excited. I hate to burst everyone's bubble.
I'm not
but
either.
I don't
I'm a
like
big Star Trek.
Trek
fan. I just don't want them to fuck it up. You know, it's one of those things where I'm...
I feel like Star Trek allows you to have some fuck-ups, though. I feel like that universe will make room for a few... I don't know. Is Deep Space Nine the one with the female captain with the kind
of... No, that's Voyager.
Voyager. So how was that one? Wasn't that one a big bust?
Critics. I don't mind it. Look, it's not my favorite.
Critically
either.
Panned, but commercially
but
beloved.
I mean, it's not. Yeah, I mean, it didn't do well. It really didn't. It's a good idea. The cast is all right. I mean, I don't know why it didn't do well.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
it's a good.
Have...
It is a good story. There's nothing in particular about it that's bad. Had some great characters. Had some good stories.
People were just over it at that point. I think
it was saturated. I think the market because they had DS9. I think going at the same time as Voyager.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And that's also at the same time, if you're into that, Stargate was kicking off in its TV world.
God,
and that
yes.
shit went for like 38 years or something ridiculous.
Also, Sequest, if you guys remember Sequest.
Yeah, SV or S. What was the Sequest something?
It was, yeah. There, I think there was another generation of it even after the original.
It had that kid from the movie with Chuck Norris who killed himself.
Yes, exactly right.
Sad ending, but I mean, that kid's so cool.
But, man, he did some good work while he was still with us.
Man, Sidekicks.
Yeah.
Sidekicks. That is such a good
Wasn't
such
he
a
in
good
Ladybugs,
movie.
Too?
Yes.
Was he the kid in Ladybugs?
What else was
I
he in?
I loved both those movies when I was a kid.
What else was he in? There's something else that was big that he was in, too. Like, what was his big shit?
Yeah, he had a run.
He did.
And it obviously cost him emotionally.
Oh, man. I know. It's sad. But, I mean, fuck, that just happens.
And there was a dolphin in that show?
Yeah.
That's the Star Trek of the sea that everybody had been clamoring for. Rob Schneider? Not Rob Schneider. Who's the guy from Jaws? Something. Roy
Richard
Schneider.
Dreyfuss?
Roy Schneider. No, not Richard Dreyfuss.
Okay.
Are you looking up that guy right now?
No.
I think it was Roy Schneider.
I'll do it. I got to see what his name is.
Now we have to know.
It's great that I can just look up Sequest Kid and let's see if Google... And I didn't even spell Sequest right. I spelled Equest. Jonathan Brandis, and Google's just like, this is who you want.
Oh, yeah. Jonathan Brandis.
The Jonathan Brandis?
The Jonathan Brandis. Well, it's sad. He was a good-looking guy.
A promising career cut tragically short.
He hung himself when he was 27, but, God, that sucks, because he seemed cool.
Well, it is, we'll try to remember the good times. And
he was in It.
Oh, he was
Stephen
in It.
Stephen King's It.
Oh, he must have been really young
no
in
shit.
That one.
Yeah.
He and who played the clown?
Tim Curry.
Tim Curry. That's who
The creepiest person in the universe.
He
Tim
was
Curry.
An uncredited character in Dumb and Dumber.
Sure,
That's a good, you know, credit. I mean, Dumb and Dumber is one of the best comedy movies, top five of all time.
Absolutely.
That's one of the movies I've probably seen the most out of all movies.
Yeah, I owned that one on VHS. Mm-hmm. Oh, loved it. Watched that repeatedly. Andy, why don't we play a little bit of music before we turn into a movie remembrance podcast? Sad.
Let's just look at our phones and look at some shit.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just wanted to know. I thought he was in something else bigger, but I guess not really. I guess
that's
Sequest
a good run.
Was
a
shit. Yeah, I mean, still. Jonathan Brandis, shout out.
Yeah. I'm going to play you a song from this band called Bad Mouth, but it's got an X in between, so it's really hard to Google.
Bad X Mouth.
Mm-hmm. They're really good. The song's called Hostage.
Oh, shit.
Mellow.
Yeah. You better now, man?
Yeah.
You mellow?
Yeah.
Feel all right, huh?
Was an appropriate amount of that kind of music.
I mean, they come in short bursts, but they're always very good. It's like an adrenaline shot.
It's a real punch. So that was Bad Mouth
from Portland.
From Portland.
From Portland. All right. Wow. Good job.
Man, there's a lot out there.
There's a lot in Portland.
There's a lot to unearth. Even after almost a decade here.
There's so much music that we'll never hear.
What did you grow up listening to? What was, we talked about you being 15 and stumbling upon.
You know, I actually remember the first. I remember I got two early music memories. One, the first when CD players, portable Discman.
Yeah.
That was, 60 second skip protection was a big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But I think it was my brother's or my mom. She had an En Vogue CD. Free, oh man. I loved that song. I'm like 8 years old, so give me a little break. But I mean, still,
man, I'm right there with you. I was really into En Vogue, and those were probably my first like real crushes.
All right.
Yeah, those videos were hot.
Yeah.
Good.
And just all those harmonies.
Good.
Those big harmonies in those songs.
Oh, yeah.
They were
the Destiny's Child.
Yeah. You know.
And all the girl groups of that era, they were quite popular at the time. I thought they had the most soul and the most, like, actually cool, like, funky songs.
Yeah.
Like, Free Your Mind like, had the cool guitar riffs and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And remember that song, She Drives Me Crazy?
Yeah.
Fine Young Cannibals.
Fine Young Cannibals, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's, like, my earliest music memory because I was, like, five. And I just remember seeing that. I lived in Florida at the time, you know. Like, I was actually born in Florida and I lived there till I was like 5 or 6 and then moved to Virginia. But yeah, I just remember seeing that and loving that and like begging my mom and bought me the tape, cassette tape. And that was the first cassette tape I ever had was Fine Young Cannibals, She Drives Me Crazy.
That's a good one. See, one of my earliest memories, I think if Twitter is to be believed, this will resonate with you, Jacob. But Uptown Girl by Billy Joel was one of the first songs I remember loving and like knowing all the words to. And I had my parents had like the greatest hits on 2 cassette tapes. So I was tearing through some Billy Joel from a very young age.
Dude,
and that stuck with me.
That's good. And that's great. I love Billy Joel.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Love Billy Joel.
What was some of your big high school bands when you're, you know, like a moody teen?
Jesus.
What are you listening to?
Like, maybe this is more middle school, but there was the whole, you know, remember Prodigy came out with Fat of the Land?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that album killed it.
Was that the one with Breathe on it?
Yeah. I had Breathe and Smack My Bitch Up and Firestarter. Like, it was just every song on there was the shit. and like Bush was big.
Oh yeah.
And you know, yeah. Fucking Sneaker Pimps, and there was like a lot of that. God, that was a good era. Live.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. God, I haven't thought of any of that in a long time.
Oh man, I remember all that so vividly. Yeah. Shit.
Live Throwing was my copper. first live concert was Live, yeah. And Counting Crows, and I think the Wallflowers. Damn, when I was in sixth grade, I want to say.
First concert? That's a good one.
Yeah.
My first one, I think, was Peter Frampton.
That's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Nice.
The only Frampton is Live Frampton. So yeah. That's what anybody knows.
Frampton Comes Alive.
So you played a little bit of drums. You were kind of into the drums.
Yeah, I was into drums for a while. I got one from the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and that was just like me and my friend started a band. Not really a band. We just played in their mom's garage. Called the Psychedelic Assholes. Man, I wish I could. I wish I had a copy of our tape. Because by our tape, our one song that we recorded one time, because it got stolen out of my friend's car. It's out there somewhere.
Wait, hold on, though. I got to go back here.
Yeah.
How did you get drums from the Make-A-Wish Foundation? Was that your wish?
This might take us down a dark path, but if...
No. I had three liver transplants when I was 14.
Holy shit.
Crazy. Yeah, I was a Make-A-Wish kid, and like I wanted a drum set, and then I got, you know, I lived, and they gave me a drum set.
Did they take it back if you
I guess. Why wouldn't you return it? I mean, that's sad, but I got a drum set, and I started playing because I wanted to play drums. And, you know, I look back, oh, I had it in the house. God, I feel bad for my parents.
Yeah, that's a rough one as a parent to be, like, super supportive of, because drums are loud as shit. Yeah. Nate can speak from experience. His kids have a pretty real, it's a kid-sized drum set, but they are real drums in his house. It's loud as shit when they get banging on them. And it seems to be your kids, Nate. It's whenever other people's kids come over, they're just glued to that shit for, like, 2 hours.
Well, because it's the ultimate, it's something you hit.
Yeah.
Like it's amazing.
And when you're young, it all sounds the same. That's what drums sound like. When you're like 4 years old playing on a kid's drum set, you are convinced you are playing it perfectly right because that's all it sounds like. It's just noise to you. So do you mind if we ask you about the liver thing?
That's fine.
How
old
was this? And
no, I was 14. I was just born with a fucked up liver.
Yeah.
So it just, you know, degraded and got to a point where I needed a transplant. I was put on a list and then I got it. I was in the hospital for like 7 months because I had to get three of them because the first two fucked up.
Whoa.
And I mean, it was like I missed the entire ninth grade year of school, basically. And I got a drum set. I don't remember, but what I'm told is the first night they discharged me and I came home, I went to a seizure. They had to airlift me back to the hospital, like from the country to fucking Richmond. And I don't remember any of that, and it sucks because I've never been on a helicopter before or since. So
one helicopter?
You technically were, but yeah.
I don't remember any of it.
It wasn't
a
fun one.
Yeah, you've had three times as many livers as helicopter rides.
Yes, exactly. That's a very good way to look at it.
Yeah.
But it worked out. I'm still here. Science prevails.
Fantastic.
Now they're growing livers in like labs and shit. It's fucking awesome, but... Yeah, and then I got a drum set, and I just started playing it. Me and my friend started the band, the Psychedelic Assholes.
I love that name.
I came up with that. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And our hit song was called Close Encounters of the 420th Kind. Yes.
Oh, that's killer.
This needs to become this. I hope this is revived now. I think.
Yeah, I can't remember those, how
those
it goes.
Those things are still as rock
chorus,
solid as they ever were.
That's all I know. I don't remember the lyrics, just the chorus.
Were you in high school when you wrote these songs? Like, or when this was created?
Yeah, because this happened. Yeah. Shit. Drum set was basically our liver transplant was all right. Middle school to high school. That's what happened. So, yeah, anything after the liver was high school. And yeah, it was like 16, 17. Yeah,
that's a mature creative sensibility, I would say. Psychedelic Assholes and Close Encounters the 420th Kind.
We were got our garage had like 400 bongs stashed in it. Homemade
bongs?
Yeah, homemade, of course. Huge. We had ones that were like 3 feet of PVC pipe. And then we had like world's smallest bong, you know, it was like little shot glass whiskey bottles, like those little like one serving miniatures. Made like a bong with that and a thimble. And then like 40 other like just shitty. They were all resonated, never been cleaned. Just stash them in the wall. Pull it out 3 months later with the bong water still. And it's got like a film over it. Just dump it out, refill it, and smoke that dirt swag weed.
The dirtiest dirt swag.
Just the shittiest weed. Like I never seen like the weed that we get here. just legally, you walk into a store, you got 40, like, what do you want? Here's the percentage of everything. It's like, what?
It's like you've plucked it out of a mountain stream.
Like, that shit would cost like $60 a gram in Virginia, like when I was growing up. And it's like, oh, $8 a gram. Just, it's crazy, like the shit we smoked.
In Indiana, it was just like a handful of dirt.
Yeah,
that's how it was in Michigan, too, where it was like, it was actually like a brick of it, and you had to peel it apart.
Yeah.
And it was always dry. I feel like I always bought it dry. Either dry or soaking wet to the point where it's unusable. Just not a good sticky, but just like almost like a beef jerky.
You like the side of the brick.
A clod of dry.
Mm-hmm. You were lucky if it had a green coloring to it at all. It was mostly brown.
Yeah, exactly. It was a bark lot of color. Seeds more just, often than
seeds. Like I've never found a seed. Never once since I've lived in Portland found a seed. That's like an everyday thing, smoking swag. It's like you got to pick the seeds constantly.
Spitting at all times.
Or you could be like my dad and just pack it up and say, fuck it, you paid for it. Might as well smoke it.
You know that smell. I haven't smelled a seed. Like, oh, man, that's a very unique smell.
What a time to be alive.
What a time to live in Portland, at least.
And to celebrate, Jacob, what's another track that you brought to play tonight?
All right. This is a local band to Portland.
Excellent.
All right. It's also metal. The reason I know this band is because the drummer named Brighton, I worked with him at Lowe's many years ago, who cares where I worked. Mm-hmm. But he was a nice guy, but he's just a very good drummer. And that's, like, he way better than I ever was. And he's just, like, phenomenal. I don't know. He's just I just like really good drumming. Like, that's when I listen to anything, that's what I'm focused on mostly. So, and he's just really phenomenal. And, give it a listen.
What's the name of his band?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Dead Crown.
Dead Crown from right here in Portland. Let's check it out. Andy, tell me what's happening at Taco Bell.
They just unveiled the naked chalupa.
What does that mean?
The naked chicken chalupa.
Well, what'd y'all think of Dead Crown, first off? Just real
quick.
That
was good.
Loved it.
Was, it reminded me a lot of
super
like,
heavy.
All right.
A lot of stuff I really liked in the 90s. It was awesome.
Portland.
They're here in Portland. Like, yes. I never go, like, I never stumble upon that kind of music. Like, I feel like I ought to. We need to look up when they're playing because I would like to go see that band.
Right on. They're good, man. But yeah, I didn't want to interrupt. I just want to get a shout out to them after the song.
No, absolutely.
But I did interrupt. I'm an asshole. We're talking about the naked fucking chalupa, people.
The naked chicken chalupa. So it's the taco shell that's replaced with a thin fried chicken cutlet that's been formed into a taco. And then they fill it with lettuce,
what do you mean
tomatoes,
like
and cheese.
Like a chicken breast?
It looks
boneless
like,
chicken
it's
breast?
Like a piece of boneless chicken that's been molded into a taco shell.
Yeah, I mean, but it's not a natural cut piece of chicken, of course. It's like molded chicken material.
It's strung together medallions of chicken.
Yeah. It's all one. It feels like one solid piece.
Is it thin?
It's pretty thin. It's
Are you supposed
stubby.
To hold it?
It comes in a cardboard sleeve.
Like the Doritos.
Just like the Doritos taco. Oh. It's a little shorter than you'd expect it would be, and a little wider. And then they fill it with just, like, there's nothing in it. It's just lettuce, tomatoes, and cheese, and, like, some kind of a sauce. Why don't they put ground beef in it? They need to put ground beef in it.
Oh, they don't.
They need to step it up. I think they need to put beans, nacho cheese, and ground chicken on top of it. Make a double chicken. Finger-licking double chicken.
I find this idea repulsive.
The I had it today, and I have to say,
I don't,
it was great.
I never thought I would say that about anything Taco Bell offered, because I love Taco Bell.
I fucking hate myself for loving Taco Bell
I
so
do,
much.
Too. It's
I love it still.
It's embarrassing and delicious.
It was good, though, guys. I got to say, there can be some improvements. They could dip the whole thing in Doritos dust.
Oh, yeah.
Or they could, you know, put some nacho cheese on there for me.
Nate, you were going to ask
did
something.
Did you by chance try the double layer? They just had those.
Yes.
Like a month ago, like the taco that had the...
They had one that was like sweet
they had
and
three
spicy.
Flavors
yes,
of
the
it, right?
Sweet, gross. The
no,
sweet and spicy
I
one, I didn't like
No, I
love
the sweet and spicy. Really? That That's was what jam? I wanted to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I love those.
Sweet and spicy like
was,
hot and sour
It was
sauce
like
or
yeah. spicy chili sauce or whatever, you know? Like, yeah.
I loved those. Oh,
but
you
the
hated
south of
them.
The border tang.
And it was pretty spicy. They had another one that was habanero chill or cool.
Cool habanero?
Cool habanero, yeah. And they had a crunchy one. They're all pretty good.
Taco Bell's always reinvent. They always, like, every 3 months they come out with something. You're like, how the fuck has nobody thought of this
before?
Yeah,
there's only six ingredients. I mean, how many, like, mathematically, how many more iterations of these flavors?
And three of those ingredients are the same thing, just with a different color in them.
Yeah, exactly.
But I still love that.
I suppose what you start to do is you start to craft edible shells from those ingredients, and you just start to fill them like this chicken naked chalupa.
Well, they've really stepped up their...
Is it fried? The outside's fried like the chalupa shell?
Is it like crispy?
It's
like
a chicken sandwich.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's like a chicken sandwich with that's been molded into like a, you know, like a salad pocket. But you know, now...
But you have to slide it out of a cardboard
You just
sleeve.
Inch it out as you eat it.
Yeah.
It's not
so
too bad.
Your lips are eventually just going to mush up against the cardboard, and you've got this kind of soggy cardboard-ended sleeve at the end of your taco skin...
I guess
chicken skin taco.
If you get that slobbery on it, you're definitely going to have a soggy cardboard sleeve.
If this podcast gets broadcast in fucking like Rwanda or Somalia, they're going to hate us right now. But man, we have it so well.
Pretty good listenership over there. They like,
that's right.
They really like
perpetually offended by our largesse, but they love the music.
But Taco Bell really stepped it up recently with their app.
What?
The Taco Bell app is amazing.
App?
Yeah, you can customize anything on the menu any crazy way you want to.
Wait. What? Y'all all know about this. Like
I don't know. I mean, I know that it exists. Right. I don't know anything about its interface.
They have an app. You just download it, and then you enter your order, and you send it to the place you want to pick it up, and then you just go through the drive-thru like you normally would, and it's all ready for you. You don't even...
But you can customize the stuff, too?
You can customize your
made.
Shit. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
When are they going to do, like, you know how Nike ID or Nike.com, you can make whatever the fuck, like, when is Taco Bell going to just do that?
They just did.
Oh, God.
You can get cheese on anything.
It's like you build your own pizza, only you can build your own.
Mm-hmm.
But that I feel like the window for pre-order and then picking up has got to be super tight to enjoy that Taco Bell.
Yeah.
It's not like you can call 20
That's
minutes
true.
In advance. You have to be sitting in your driver's seat and you want to save yourself about 2.5 minutes. That's the window that you have.
Yeah.
Or else it becomes real soggy.
The thing you're paying for is the customization. You can put volcano sauce on stuff.
I mean, you can just go in the store and use the app then and then just walk to the counter. <That's true>. Like,
yeah.
I'm not waiting in this line.
I don't want to talk to a person. I just want food.
Yeah.
And I
just,
get it.
They just call it a number and you grab your bag and leave. That's how I would use it. That's the best way to use it. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, that's all right. All right.
You've talked me into it.
I think I'm going to download that as well. That seems like a great tool.
Well, you know, if you're a multi-time a week user, then it just makes a lot of sense.
Are you a multi-time a week?
I'm not.
You can have your custom order on your phone.
So, thumbs up on the Naked Chalupa is what I'm hearing?
I think it's a good start. It's not bad.
Out of 10?
It's worth trying, and I would say I give it a 7 out of 10.
All right. 7 out of 10.
There's not a lot going on inside of it. It would be much better if it was filled with beans and more chicken.
As a baseline, what do you score the original double-decker taco?
Oh, that's like high on my menu. That's 9.
Okay. Yeah. So you like a sturdy classic.
Yeah, it's good. That's
maybe a little bit
there's
of
a lot of stuff. The cheesy gordita crunch is pretty fantastic.
Crunchwrap Supreme.
Crunchwrap Supreme is great.
Okay. Crunchy-weezy.
I ate a Mexican pizza in a bathtub in a hotel last weekend.
Mm-hmm. Like some kind of Saudi prince.
Yeah, we had a Mexican pizza and a Nachos Bel Grande in a bathtub.
Well, humble brag.
It's not the first time. I do this every year.
It's not the first time you filled a tub with Mexican food and ate your way out of it.
Every year at my wife's company party, we get a room and eat Taco Bell in that bathtub.
The most erotic bathtub food.
Taco Bell. Role play.
Yeah. She's at the drive-thru. Andy's drunk driving his way through it.
I don't know what
I have
I
to
want.
Go across a parking lot and into the driveway on the other side of the parking lot. That's how close the Taco Bell is. But the only way to get it is to be in a car. So it's a dangerous, dangerous game.
Yep.
It's a weird role play.
Jacob, you want to play some either or with us?
Yeah.
I'm just going to give you two options.
Okay.
You select one.
All right.
Some will have some pretty clear criteria. Others will be just whatever your heart tells you. The first question I have is motorcycles or jet skis? Notice they're both plural.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Multiple.
Motorcycles.
So you'd rather have a couple of motorcycles than a couple of jet skis.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's not even a question. If you offered me I've had a jet ski, first off.
Have you?
My dad had a jet. I didn't personally. But
not as much use out of it as
no.
you think.
Plus, like, do you live by water? Where's water access?
I grew up by water, but no. Otherwise, it's just a driveway.
Like my life right now, you gave me two jet skis. I could just set them in a trailer in a yard. They would never get used. They're useless.
Yeah. If you don't live in a lake and you have a jet ski, it's kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
I mean, you could pull it in your trailer and go somewhere and ride it all over the
place. And even a jet ski's not that fun.
Motorcycle, if you set it upright, you could probably pull a jet ski with a motorcycle on land.
Okay.
I'd rather be able to drive on roads, though, than on the water.
Yeah.
Any day. At least in our current society.
Until they set up those really dope aqueduct roads like they're talking about doing. I'm going to stick with a motorcycle. But if they did have aqueduct roads, fucking jet ski all the way.
Well, if we were in a sort of like the Kevin Costner water world scenario, it'd be critical to have
We could them. Be mm-hmm. smokers. Well, that's what they call them, right. Smokers. God, that was not a bad movie, I just want to say.
It wasn't as bad as the attention that it got for being bad.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I watched the movie about a year ago. And I tried to watch it from like, I want to just see if this movie's good or not, you know, because I hadn't seen it in a decade. It's not bad. It is not. It's entertaining. I would give it a 7 out of 10.
Man, I'm a really
7
bad.
Out of 10. It is the Naked Chalupa of Kevin Costner.
Exactly. Kevin Costner movies. I'm a horrible movie
Hopper
critic.
Movies.
Whenever I see these movies in the theater, I'm automatically just like, this is great. I saw Waterworld like opening weekend. It was just like, this movie's amazing. And it got ripped apart and I was so disappointed. I really like The Postman.
I can't say it. That's a little bit confirmation bias. I haven't seen it, and it doesn't appeal to me, but you think it's...
Well, in my household, Kevin Costner was, like, the greatest actor ever.
Same. That's what my dad thinks. Same. My dad believes him to be...
It was either him or, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Our fine
favorite,
American treasures.
What's the best Kevin Costner movie?
Oh, Dances
Robin Hood,
Wolves.
Prince of Thieves?
No.
That's a good one.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves is the best
Dances
one.
Dances with Wolves, for sure.
What's the right answer?
Well, Robin Hood's terrible.
Or Field of Dreams.
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding. It's better
than
Waterworld.
When is the last time you saw Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves?
Like 4 months ago.
I saw it in like 97, maybe. Yeah.
That's one of the first DVDs I ever owned where it requires a flip of the disc.
What? I remember that.
When's
shit.
The last time you've seen it?
like about 4 months ago.
Okay, and you found it wanting.
It's funny. It's almost great because it's so bad.
Well, Costner is terrible in it, but he's terrible in everything.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay.
I mean, that
when you look at it
good.
Like that, I understand.
But we get
why
some
like
really
it.
Good scenery chewing from Alan Rickman.
Yeah, Alan
and
Rickman's
whoever plays
great.
His cousin, Guy of Gisborne.
I mean, it has some fantastic. Great stuff, but I mean, just Kevin Costner is so bad. Just like not even, he's in Renaissance, no accent. He's got his Field of Dreams, Iowa fucking voice going on the whole time. He doesn't
and
even
Christian
try.
Slater is,
yes.
gives an embarrassing performance in
oh,
that movie.
Yeah. Oh, it's man. Like every scene looks like they were just one take, first time, making it up as they go, fucking cut, done.
So we agree to give it a chance.
I feel like I saw that movie two, maybe three times in the theater when that was out.
Loved that
movie. My parents took me to it. Netflix. I went by myself with my friends.
Ugh. I also, Kevin Costner is on my shit list a little bit because of Wyatt Earp, which came out around the same time as Tombstone, which uh-huh. is my very favorite movie of all time. And
Tombstone. It's yeah. good. It's a great movie.
That's a really solid, good movie.
Yeah.
That's a very, yeah.
Wyatt Earp, not very good.
Yeah. Just, not, wait, Val Kilmer wasn't bad, though.
Oh, no, he was great, but he was in Tombstone.
Oh, wait, yeah.
He was Doc
Holliday. I got, them both. That's, I got yeah. them both confused, yes.
Yeah. yeah. Wyatt Earp right. was a really, really long, slow movie.
The super
was it an
long
Ang Lee movie or something?
It might have been.
I think it was Ang Lee's Wyatt Earp epic.
But we can all agree we'd rather have jet skis than motorcycles.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Point being,
The game's doing its job. If we can get on digressions like that, it's doing what it's supposed to. Would you rather stub your toe or have the wind knocked out of you?
That's a good one. I think it's been a long time since I've done either. I'm more afraid of having the wind knocked out of me.
Me too.
It's like, but at the same time, it's been so long. I think I would just do that just because stubbing a toe, it hadn't been too long.
Right.
And it sucks. But yeah, it's been, if it's safe and I know nothing bad was
going to
happen.
Yeah, both of these scenarios, you're going to survive, yeah. but they're going to be like right on the edge.
Well,
yeah.
Either one you pick, we're going to do to you right
nothing
now.
Nothing permanent's going to happen, right. but it's going to be about right. as bad as the experience can get.
Well, I would do wind. I would do the wind. I'd like to be crouched over on the ground,
oh,
unable
man.
To catch my breath.
Shit. Yeah. I'm thinking about it right now.
I
just
think I would
a punch.
Too, but yeah. only because Nate told me there's this trick that if you get the wind knocked out of yourself, to jump up in the air and like let your arms flap by your sides and it'll stop it.
You're not gonna. How are you gonna do that? It takes an incredible act of will to pull yourself out of that crouch.
Well, usually you go.
That doesn't even sound real. Sounds like if you did that, you just faint.
Yeah,
and just black out.
Maybe that's it.
And give a big jump stomp.
Make sure you're near a very soft landing place and force yourself out of this painful crouch. And I promise it will take care of it. In about 7 minutes of oxygen-free brain time, you're gonna be.
You're gonna take this huge. Breath and then you're gonna throw up hard but you'll be done with it.
Yeah, then it's all over. Yeah, then I want that route. You're right, that's the winner.
Yeah, fuck a stub toe.
I stubbed my toe in my important. Washing machine like real hard a while back. I may have talked about this in the show and I just like oh,
it took up
fuck.
A 20-minute segment on one of our episodes.
That hurts so bad. And when I took my sock off to get into bed, the entire first knuckle was twice the size it should be and black.
Oh,
who knows?
God.
It's like
you had filled your sock with blood.
Is that broken?
Have you ever lost a nail?
Oh, so many times, yes. Yeah.
There's always, that's so terrible when that happens.
It is so gross. Just,
you lose a finger or toenail. It's like, fuck, I'm
especially
fucked for like
toe.
2 months.
Like being able to watch yourself die is really what it's like.
When your big toenail falls off, that's yeah, a yeah. big, that's yeah. a big nail.
That moment where you like finally peel it off, it's like hanging on.
The home stretch.
Oh, you God, you're just like, doink. That's
well,
what Snapchat's
nails
for.
Peeling off or things going under my nails is one of like the worst thoughts in the
this
world.
This is a good segue because my next question was pick a scab or pop a zit.
How about a zit scab?
A skit?
Well, a skit, yeah.
I definitely pick a scab because that can be pretty satisfying.
Yeah, I would do scab too.
For me, it's totally a zit. It's a real gusher. That's the more appealing, disgusting thing to do.
Yeah. Are you scab, into Are you into watching those zit popping videos on
no,
YouTube?
No, I can't do it. I've seen gross. The one with the guy's back where someone in his family has to cut into it.
Yeah.
And it's making my stomach hurt right now.
I've watched a few of them. They're insane.
That's
too
much.
So much pus
it's
in a human
fucking
body.
Fucking insane.
It doesn't seem
yeah, it's
possible.
Like cottage cheese just flowing.
Oh.
That said, though, still rather do that instead of like a picture of you cutting open, you know, your partner's back zit and squeezing it out, or
into
peeling
your mouth.
Off a back size scar from them. Or
down.
It's like on their stomach instead.
Oh, man.
For equal out the grossness.
I'm all about the even peel of a scab.
You,
like, it's like peeling an orange in one peel.
Stomach scab, though? Just a slow stomach scab of someone else, too.
Oh, someone else? Like, I really like picking, like, a shin scab. I just skateboarded a lot, so I had a lot of scabs in my life.
I mean, I'm a something of a picker by nature, so these are all appealing options.
You're a picker and a grinner.
So if you had to pop one of those big bag zits into your mouth, how much money?
Chew a scab off? How much money would it take?
How much money would I have to give you right now to pop a zit?
It's really,
a monster
it's
back
my
boil.
Mouth is filling with saliva right now. I need like a spittoon. It's welling up.
How about this?
This might be our first on-air puke.
We'll squeeze out like a sausage-style pus log onto a hot dog bun.
But it comes out of someone's
body.
Put mustard
on it.
It has to come out of someone. I have to watch it come out of someone's body.
You have to be the one who pushes it out.
Then I have to eat it.
And then you have to eat a hoagie.
I have to angle it onto my own hot dog in like a serpentine pattern.
Yeah.
Oh, that's.
I'm imagining it coming out like solid straight, like
really
a hot
like
dog.
It's seriously my saliva glands are just filling my mouth right now. This is repulsive. Okay.
It's just right
good
here.
Answer. So would you rather wear sleeveless t-shirts every day or short shorts every day?
God, it's funny that I would say I'm insecure with my body when I just did that show this weekend.
Yeah, you are a recent nude comedian.
Yeah, I got Pornhub credentials now, people. Look me up on Pornhub.
You're definitely the first guest we've had with material on Pornhub.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
You can find your hot naked body doing comedy.
It's gross,
Pornhub.
But I put it online just because fuck it.
It's
about
no...
that life.
So hold on. This show, how does this work? Are you telling jokes on stage and people are like ringing a bell? And
yes,
you take things
exactly
off?
Exactly what it is. There's a strip master who rings a bell after a joke or whenever. You take an article, they play music. You take an article of clothing. You got a pole to dance around. You can get as naked as you want. You know, a lot of people get naked. I'm not the only one who's gotten naked on that show.
Sure.
I've done it before, too. And let some people go down to the underwear, whatever you're comfortable with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you have the option of getting completely naked. There's like 130 people there.
Holy
just
shit.
Completely naked.
What's the name of the show? Where is it?
Comic Strip. It's at Funhouse Lounge, hosted by the wonderfully talented Wendy Weiss. Check that show. That is the best show.
So was it a thrill? Was it like exciting?
It's fun. It's fun just because it's like, it's such a... You know, I mean, what else can I do now? Like, I've been on stage naked in front of 100 plus people.
Yeah.
Like, completely. Not
nothing
like,
left
to
fear.
Yeah.
Really.
Like, there's a, you know, skimpy underwear. So, no, it's just I'm naked.
Yeah.
And it's just like, fuck, it's fine.
I feel like it's like jumping into some cold water. Really, like, once you've, like, yanked that Band-Aid off.
As you pull it down, it's just like, this is it.
Yeah.
Here's another joke for you.
Just get used to looking at it for 10 more minutes.
Yeah. When I was about, I don't know, 14 or so, early drinking years, whenever I would get really drunk, I would get totally naked. And it was just a thing people had to deal with when they hung out with me.
There's always
I'd go
one
away
of those
for a little bit and then I would
crew.
Come back naked. Yeah. I got that out of my system early.
Yeah, I hung around people who would like if you didn't watch where you fell asleep, there would be nuts on your face. Lots of nuts on my back as I was growing up. I just
flesh
you know,
nails.
You can't always be watching your six.
Drawn on
but
your
you
face.
Have to. I never got that. I never had around that kind of dickhead. That is a real dickhead.
See, here, man, we did a lot of drawing in my group of friends.
We drew a dick on my friend Rob's face when we were like 18 or 19. He passed out like a huge dick, just like a big black permanent marker. Didn't tell him. We went to Walmart. We went to a restaurant. We went out to like four different places for like an hour and a half that morning.
And he let it?
Yeah. We didn't tell him. We were like, everybody act normal. We just didn't. It was great. Someone told him at the Walmart, but we went to eat first. I forget. It wasn't a cashier. It was just a random person. You know, you got a big dick on your face.
A good citizen.
Yes, but also, I mean, whatever. The joke had run its course, I guess. It'd been like an hour.
Yeah, I mean, after that, it's time to laugh, finally. But, and
like, yeah, it's hilarious, dude. Like, dicks and like just dumb shit drawn on people.
Oh, my God. We had a friend, Meter. He would get really drunk, and he would always get drawn on. At one time, he got drawn on. Some fucking person drew a swastika on his forehead, of course. And he had a huge dick on his face, and he had chest hair. And then somebody painted on him with paint. And then we all got arrested. The cops came.
So he
had to come outside. He was wearing a woman's shirt because he didn't have a shirt. He was wearing like a girl's like sweater that he'd found, my cousin's sweater. And then he was just totally drawn up, like full body tattoo and paint, like house paint at some point they'd be able to put on him. We all got MIPs and like had to fucking sit there and talk to the cops for a long time. The party got broken up. I went home and went to bed, and I wake up to him kicking me in the foot as hard as he could. So I sat up, and he just sprayed black spray paint right on my chest because he thought I was the one who had painted him. I didn't do that, but it was probably my idea.
You got spray painted in your own bed.
I got spray painted in my own bed. It's hard to get off of human skin.
God, yeah.
Well, I mean, I have one more. I guess we might as well finish out the round, yeah, although I don't know how much better we can do than what we've done so far. But my last question is, would you rather marry a homeless person or marry a convicted felon who will be released and is definitely a recidivist? So they're going to commit crimes again.
I would do a homeless person.
You'd go with a homeless person.
I know all kinds of cool homeless people from back in the day.
I don't even understand. Homeless people are, yeah. I mean, some of them are obviously very fucked up, need help.
Most of them, I would say, probably fall on that spectrum.
I saw some today. Fuck. Dude had a skateboard, and he was just following this other guy around. He wasn't going to do anything, but he was just like had this weird like smile, like stretched out smile, not saying anything, just following him. He was holding his skateboard weird. Like it wasn't like by his side. He's holding it in front of him. And the dude was like, "You follow me, I'm going to fuck you up." I was out giving out waters to homeless people on Burnside.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just something I do. And I got, like, if y'all want any water, by the way, I got, like, cases of bottles of water in the back of my car right now.
Nice.
But, yeah, it was just like, "I'm going to fuck you up." And, like, those people need help, clearly. Like, I would not marry them. But, you know.
You don't have a lot of choice in this scenario, but I would still go with the homeless person, I think.
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
I can do more good there.
Exactly.
There's a lot that I can do for that.
Oh, fuck. I saw a gang of homeless pirates yesterday. This Portland. Dude had an honest-to-God pirate hat on, like the captain. And, yeah, they might have been time travelers.
Are they the creation? They believe in the flying spaghetti monster? Isn't that something? Like, they got to dress like pirates? There's a religion.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about this.
That sounds familiar
about
to me.
It, though.
I don't have any
I didn't know pirates was part
information.
Of it.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Like, you have to dress like a pirate. Which is, I mean, that's fucking,
it's fair.
Out of all the religions, that's pretty cool. I'll take that religion over any of the others.
In terms of doctrine and tradition, that's not so bad.
I mean, I don't think there's anything against, like, Jews or gay people or anything. Nice. And it's
less homophobic and racist than most religions.
Yeah.
This is very pro-pirate. Well, Jacob, thanks for playing that game. I think I think it did what I expected it to do.
I think we learned a lot.
I think we did. I think we covered a lot of ground. Andy, is there a song that you'd like to play for us right now?
Oh yeah, I'm gonna play you this song by this producer Zenji, Z-E-N-J-I. The song's called Featherheart. I bring the floor to the speakers.
Taco Bell app strikes again.
Andy's waist deep in the Taco Bell app right now.
That was good music.
His, Yeah, that was good music.
I like that. Very chill ambience.
So, Jacob, I want to ask you just a little bit. We got a little bit of time left. I want to ask you kind of process questions. I'm curious, like, for you and in your style as you've honed it over the last 6 years, what's kind of the difference between something that makes you laugh, something that you think is funny?
Check this out. These are the things you can add to this thing on this app.
Is that what you can add to the naked?
Yeah.
That was a long... I saw you flick a lot of shit.
It's a lot. You could really trick this bitch out.
Dude,
probably cost you about $12.
We should just trick out, get a Cadillac.
You can get shredded steak on this taco.
It's so...
Inside of it, if you want.
The naked chalupa is buried deep on this app, huh?
So, if you go on this app, you can go to the chalupa and go to the add-on section, and there's about 15 different things you could add on to
You can check the box that says, make naked.
Yeah. See, oh, here we go. We could add chipotle sauce, sour cream, nacho cheese, onions, red sauce, guacamole, beans, jalapeno peppers, potatoes, Latin rice, romaine lettuce.
I like the idea of Latin rice.
Shredded chicken, steak, Mexican pizza sauce, just the sauce from that.
You have to go all in and just get everything.
Yeah, everything.
Like, how big do you think they just, like, I mean, they can't put all the ingredients in there without just overwhelming it. Like, what are they going to do?
I think they used the original cardboard carrying thing, and they'll place that within the Mexican pizza box for overflow.
Yeah,
I think it gets to a certain point. There is a tipping point for where your naked chalupa becomes a landlocked kind of thing.
Maxed out, the naked chicken chalupa will run you
$13.39. God, I am so tempted to get that tonight just for shits and giggles, and just take a picture of it.
And it's only 440 calories.
I don't believe that.
That doesn't seem possible.
I don't believe
$13, 400-calorie
they're missing
anything?
A four.
Yeah. You can't add bacon. They do have bacon. The one thing they don't have is chili.
God. Damn. I got to get that.
What? You're going to spend the 13?
Yeah, that's the thing. Is it worth $13? Probably.
Let's see. What's the most
if
expensive
thing
I can
make? If you filmed yourself eating it and ordering it.
Let's see. What can I put in a double XL stuffed burrito? The same amount of things. Okay, I got to stop.
Taco Bell. Yeah, Taco Bell app, people.
Yeah. I'm surprised this is the first time we've endorsed the Taco Bell app on this show.
Yeah. I've known about it, but it's kind of like heroin to me. I just can't get
it. That's hilarious.
We've been saving it for
really
episode
intrigued.
150. Yeah. Well, you know, I was going to talk about some comedy, but I don't even know if anything can hold a candle to the Taco Bell talk.
We're fucking breaking new ground here, people.
But I was curious because you talked about getting started by filling this notebook with stories. How did you go from that into jokes? And I'm curious more in general, like when you think of something's funny, how does it become material for you?
Well, it's just I'm a storyteller. Like I don't really do one-liners, you know. All my jokes like 2 minutes at least. And I just, you know, if I see something funny, I just think about how I can weave that into a story. What that connects to, is that something I can add to something I already have? Like every experience is just, if it's funny, you know, I'll just note it, you know, oh, you know, hey, I went to the store, this happened type of stuff, you mm-hmm. know, just how many things can you string together to make it worth telling?
Is it important that it's all 100% true, or are there things that you embellish?
No, of course I embellish it. There's a lot of stuff gets embellished by, yeah, nothing that you hear from any comedian on stage is 100% true. Sorry to break it to you.
No, that's good.
Shit.
Doug Stanhope is probably the most truthful because he just don't give a shit.
There is something to be said for, you know, telling a true story well, but mm-hmm. I like to see, like, the writing process at work. I like to understand what a comedian thinks is funny and kind of see that evident in the way they tell a joke or the way they tell a story or the details they add.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just you want to highlight, you know, whatever the main thing, highlight it, build it up. It's like I got stories like running into a bunch of seagulls on Christmas Day. And, you know, I've been telling that it was, in a parking lot and I just drove into them way too fast. And that happened like 6 years ago. You know, that's the story. I drove into a bunch of birds, killed like 5 of them probably.
Holy shit. That's like a big question I always have. Like, I've almost never hit a bird. They're always like,
oh no,
they have spidey sense. They move at the last second.
I've seen this that's part crazy. Of your act, and I do love the way you describe it as a parking lot full of seagulls.
I mean, it was a lot of seagulls. It wasn't thousands, like I say. It was, you know, maybe a couple hundred. and I hit like 4 or 5. I didn't hit, like I say, I killed like 600 yeah. and like the auto wipers and smearing blood all over the place. It wasn't nearly that.
I think 4 or 5 is a shit ton.
I mean, there was one
kill.
Hit a section of the windshield and left like a splotch.
Yeah.
Like I killed this motherfucker. Like that impact killed this fucking bird right there on the windshield. God, I remember that. And it's like, that's dead. That life force is gone. Like, I killed a few in the front, too, but when you actually see that shit through the glass.
And those
glass,
are big birds, too.
Yeah, no, this shit weighs like a couple pounds a piece.
Seriously.
Just sword explode fire. Like a water balloon full of yellow, black, and red pus.
You could not pay me enough money to eat the inside of a ripped apart bird.
Off of a windshield.
If you, it was either that or suck the pus out of one of those giant back things.
Damn, I
you
think
you can't
have
put
to
it
pus.
On bread. You got to put your lips around the open sore and suck in.
And you have to feel it like it's going to fill your mouth. Yeah, it's not just going to be inside your mouth. It's going to. Yeah, your cheeks are going to puff out suddenly.
There's force behind it.
Like
there's a pressure
cream
release.
Right out of the can, buddy.
Oh, it's turning my. But then think about eating that bird off that windshield.
Just oh, that
sucking
that's
off
foul.
A just like hands free
oh,
licking the gull off of Jake's windshield.
Oh man, because I
man, that's a tough. That's a murderous
in my
run
mind.
Right there.
A bird is just like feathers wrapped around liquid shit.
Viruses.
It's just
yep.
the inside of a bird is just liquid bird shit.
I grew up on a lake.
No organs.
I
no bones.
I saw a great blue heron swoop down and catch a bird, a fish in its mouth, which was sort of majestic. But then it's taking off and swallowing it. And it's simultaneously shitting, which is just like picture like holding a blanket, a sheet full of water, and then someone just cutting a hole in the bottom of that sheet as it's being carried away. That's how this heron shit all over this like meadow that I was watching. It in. So it was like swooping down this beautiful, graceful bird, and then a poop bag just opens up at its backside. Oh,
that's a real circle of life moment
the fish.
For you.
That is yeah. a real...
I know, but then picture eating that off of a windshield.
Oh,
that creature.
No.
No.
I'd suck pus off
You'd
of
suck
person's
that hot
jack hole.
God. Oh, man, it's really hurting me deep in my stomach.
That's disgusting.
And that's how you become a comedian, everybody. Thank you for sharing.
Can you get that topping on the Taco Bell app?
They don't have that.
You can trick
you have
it
to
out.
Add that yourself.
You got to have pus. A friend. Oh, it's yeah, it's sort of making me.
We're going to have to sustain ourselves off that in Trump's America. Once those nukes go off, it's going to be a back pus and water diet.
Yeah, you better. You those who... You
yeah,
know.
Stock up on your Taco Bell now.
The
I think I'm gonna make
the pus havers will inherit the earth. Then.
All I can think about is how at Taco Bell I want to get a burrito filled with beans and potatoes and sour cream and bacon and queso cheese
to weather Trump's America.
Yeah, it would be like a cool like Irish or no, it would be a loaded baked potato burrito. Yeah,
that does sound pretty awesome.
That's pretty good. Well, you're a connoisseur of the menu. When are you going to own a franchise?
Oh, man. That would be so dangerous
for me.
That's
the dream.
You need to, like, go down to, like, Temecula, California and open one of those tester Taco Bells
yeah.
where you're allowed to
I want
innovate
a cantina.
And experiment.
I want a Taco Bell cantina where I can serve booze.
Yeah. That's the wave of the future.
Taco Bell, if you're listening, and I know you are, please open a cantina in Portland. I really want to go.
You've
to
got
that.
A manager
before
you're
I,
waiting.
I might have to just take a trip down to
there's
Southern
There's not
California.
As many Taco Bells. And there's one right here by y'all. And there's the one in Northeast by Lloyd Center.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
There's one also down 82nd by the Fred Meyer.
Yeah, the whole game. The that's where
Creek.
I went today, which I think is much better. The one on Foster and 52nd is one of the worst Taco Bells in the nation.
It's true. It's very painfully slow.
It's just very busy all the time.
We've done a lot of free advertising for Taco Bell.
For real, I'm sorry.
No, this is a common part of the show. You think we're kidding, but the Taco Bell comes up. Very
I'm sorry often. That you had to come on Taco Bell week.
It's
very
this is our shark week, and it happens once a month.
I was really excited to find out that Naked Chalupa dropped today.
The world was excited.
And I can't wait to get it tricked out to $13.50. Mm-hmm. Just a tray full of ingredients with a chalupa hidden in the middle.
Just like, hey, you come back here and make it. Just let you in the kitchen. Guys, like Willy Wonka.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When you spend that much money, they just turn you loose in the kitchen.
That's the next step. That's the next step where it's just self-serve Taco Bell.
Where you could be
holy
a Taco Bell
shit.
High roller where they'll it's a white glove treatment for you whenever you come into Taco Bell.
That's my birthday this year. I'm
Mr. Fix, come on back.
I'm going to go to a Taco Bell.
We've got your apron waiting.
I'm just going to see if I can go to a Taco Bell and for like $100 get a box of all the ingredients and a tube gun.
Does Taco Bell like cater?
I don't know.
Like,
that would save me a lot of money.
Can you pay Taco Bell company to be like, yeah, I got a wedding or a birthday. I just...
I don't think there's any limit to the number of things they will make for you, but I do not think they will deliver or set it up.
You're
so you can order 200 tacos. They'll make it happily. But I don't know if that's considered catering or just really bulk takeout.
Bulk takeout.
The world will have to decide. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the world, Jacob Christopher, thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
No problem.
Where
thank
can
you.
People find out about where you're performing and what you do?
Okay, I'm on Facebook. Look me up. Look at jacobchristophercomedy.com. That's my website. Look me up on YouTube or Pornhub. You can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on Instagram. I got a Snapchat.
Oh, you are all
That's
over.
That's a Snapchat. Does anybody y'all Snapchat? No.
I don't fuck with it yet.
That was the one right. social media platform that never spoke to me.
I got really into Vine, and when they went down, I was just burned out on it.
No worries. I'm on Snapchat, really. Too.
But I'm glad that you're there. And, you know, jacobchristopher.com, your blog is there. You usually blog about every show that you do. So that was fun. That's been fun to read. So great place to check on what you're up to. And, go all over the place and make sure you follow Jacob. It is really funny.
Follow me.
Really appreciate you being on the show.
Literally follow him.
Sharing some great music. And thank all of you for listening to this episode of Hot Garbage. We really appreciate it. If you liked what you heard, tell a friend. Maybe leave us a ranking. It definitely helps, and we appreciate it. If you would like to participate, however obliquely, in the show, you can write us at hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com. That's HAUTE, garbagepodcast@gmail.com. Jacob, I know you brought some other songs. Usually Andy takes us home, but is there a song you'd like to play us out on tonight?
Oh, man. I got two in there. Y'all can pick. I'll let you guys do the pick. One is Genesis with Ooh. Carpet Crawlers. I love that shit. All right.
Man, I don't know what... It already sounds like an impossible
the
choice.
The other one is Trevor something with a song called Mechanical. It's like synth wave, like 80s sounding. I've been really into that lately. It's new.
Let's do that. All right, that sounds interesting.
This is about that you brought a Genesis song.
Yeah.
I love Genesis. If I were you, I would have played I Can't Dance.
No.
Land of Confusion.
I'm into the more progressive, early, weird shit.
No, yeah. They were really good, but when I found out about them, I can't dance.
Yeah.
Phil Collins had really taken the front. It was real bad.
Yeah.
So what is the name of the one we decided on?
It is by the group or person. It's called Trevor something. He makes synthwave. It's new, but it sounds like it's old, and it's just I've been really into it. I forget the name of this song. I forget Mechanical Love.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, for Andy, for Nate, for Jacob Christopher, this is Drew. We'll see you next week on Hot Garbage.
Who will be the master and who will be the slaves in a future dominated by super intelligent machines?